Let's turn tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a great chapter that gives to us the position that we occupy as partakers of the new covenant of God's matchless grace. But tonight we want to deal especially with verse 16, which is near the end of the chapter. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 we read, "For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's just look for the Lord in prayer. Our Father, enable us tonight to behold eternal things. It is so easy to behold temporal things and to be occupied with temporal things. But we pray, O God, that we may behold eternal things and cause Thy name to be honored and glorified in us and through us. For we pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 16 of this fourth chapter, we read the great statement, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now we're all acquainted with the outer man. We see the outer man in all of us day by day. We recognize the truth of the text. The outward man is perishing. We try to cover up the perishing of the outer man. But whether we, and no matter how hard we try, the outer man is perishing. But that invisible inner man is the one we want to talk about tonight. For it says the inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner man is the real self. The inner man is the soul as subject to divine life. The inner man. Now, if I can learn to manage the inner man, the real self, the real need, all the problems that show up in the outer man will be taken care of, because the inner man is the one that is most important. If you and I were to be as careful with the inner man as we are with the outer man, we would have no problems before the Lord. This inner man is most important. And I want to talk tonight about the needs of the inner man. He certainly has some needs. And we want to look at these needs. And we want to look at them very simply. And we're examining the soul as a subject of divine life. First of all, the inner man needs light. Every one of us that can look into a mirror are alive physically. We're alive physically. And while we say that, while we're alive physically, not everybody is alive spiritually. The prodigal son who was living in the far country was alive physically, but he was not alive spiritually. For when he returned to his father's house, and his elder brother would not come in, the father went out to speak to the elder brother, and he said to him, "This my son was dead, but is alive." And that's something that's true of everyone in Christ Jesus. There was a time when we were dead, dead spiritually. But we were made alive by the regenerating grace of the Spirit of God. Now, we may not be planning to leave home as a prodigal did and live with a pig. But friends, if we have no spiritual life, no life toward God, that inner man is just as dead toward God as a prodigal was living in the far country. Now, we don't like to think of that, but it is true. The problem is spiritual death. It leads to eternal death. And eternal death is that which is spoken of in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And everyone whose name was not in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Spiritual death is separation from God. Physical death is separation of the spirit and the soul from the body. Eternal death is separation of the spirit, the soul, and the body from God forever. And spiritual death leads to eternal death. That's why the gospel is such good news. For it is through the gospel that you and I have life for the inner man. John 5, verse 24. And I like that word, hath, H-A-T-H. 1 John 5, verse 12. I like that word, hath. It says in John 5, 24, verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And 1 John 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not a life. Now, in that verse, they're all one-syllable words. There's nothing complicated at all about it. No one can ever say who listens to 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. No one can ever say he couldn't understand that verse. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I remember a man at a Tuesday night Bible class in Betty Ellington's home, under conviction of sin, and I showed him that verse in 1 John. I said, take a good look at it. I said, now that verse is divided into two parts. In which part are you? Oh, he said, I'm in the second part. I don't have the Son of God. I don't have life. But when a man is that far with the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of God is that far with him, I said to him, do you want to settle it tonight? He said, no. I saw him the very next night, and his face was beaming. He settled it. See, it is the Spirit of God who does the work, not Philip, and not any personal worker. It is the Spirit of God who brought him, and when he brought him to that place, that he could see there is a division between those who have life and those who have not life, you can lead them to the Spirit of God. Because if he doesn't do the work, it isn't done. So the first thing that the inner man needs is life. The inner man needs life. Though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, once a child of God is alive in Christ, then there's some needs that show up. The first need that is evident in the life of the inner man is food. The inner man needs food. Once the inner man is alive, he certainly needs it. Now, if we stop feeding, the outer man will die. Maybe a couple restaurants might go out of business with it. But you stop feeding the outer man, and you'll perish. The inner man, if he isn't fed, the inner man will become sickly. Just as the outer man, if he doesn't eat, we get sick. And the body becomes weak. The inner man, if the inner man isn't fed, the inner man becomes weak and sickly, and we fall prey to the germs of sin. That's why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy word was found, and I did eat it. And thy word became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Now what does it mean to feed on the word of God, as Jeremiah did? Well, it means a number of things. Number one, it means that you have to read it. No one ever feeds on the word of God apart from reading the scriptures. Furthermore, we not only have to read it, we need to understand it and believe it. And we need to meditate upon it until we think in the scriptures. One of our biggest problems that I face, people do not think in the word of God. You and I are living in a day when people are thinking in the terminology of the world instead of the terminology of the word of God. It's like the people in the book of Nehemiah. The people were talking the language of Ashdod rather than the language of the Jews. And that's what is happening to God's people. And to read the word of God is to understand it and to believe it, but we have to think in the scriptures. And this is a joy of anyone who thinks in the word of God. I ran into a lady not too long ago in a place of business, and she had the name on her name tag, Bartholomew. What do you think about when you think about Bartholomew? Oh, I said to her immediately, I said, boy, I like your name. And I had a conversation going that quick. Because I was thinking in the word of God. She said, you do? Why do you like my name? I said, it's a Bible name. Do you know that Bartholomew is one of our Lord's disciples? He saw our Lord's miracles. And he became one of the apostles of our Lord. So be able to think in the word of God. Something funny happened the other day. I can't let this go by without saying it. I was in an office that handles a lot of names. And there's one of those strange names from the Old Testament that somebody happened to have. The daughter of Hosea. And this person came out to this, and this person carried a Bible with her. And she said, and she was sure she was going to corner me, you know, find something. She said, can you tell me what that name means? I said, yeah. I said, that's the daughter of Hosea. She just stood there and shook her head. It's Hosea's daughter. But you see, when you think in the scriptures, all friends, to think in the word of God is to feed the inner man. He needs food. Now, doctors tell us, for the outer man, which meal is the best. They tell us breakfast is the best meal of the day. It does more good for you than any other meal. And you know, when we come to the inner man, I believe that it's good to begin the day with the word of God. Begin the day with Holy Scripture. And what a privilege it is to read the Word of God, to meditate upon it, and to pray to the God of the Word. Oh, once that inner man has been made alive by life, now he needs food. But more than that, the inner man needs exercise. The outer man needs exercise as well. You see, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, exercise thyself unto godliness. But then in verse 8, everybody knows verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. And boy, we go at that with everything we got. But the end of that verse says, but godliness is profitable unto all things for the life that now is. And for that which is to come. Exercise. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to exercise the inner man. Now, being overfed and under-exercised is a fast way to fall prey to spiritual sickness. You under-exercise the inner man, and you can have become sick, and you can fail as a child of God. Now, this is one of the reasons that God permits testing in the lives of his people. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And you see, if your patience muscles are weak, God will permit you to endure a little tribulation, for tribulation worketh patience. How we need it. I like the 107th Psalm. The 107th Psalm is a psalm that speaks of God's dealings with Israel in the wilderness. And God led Israel to the place of no water. Why? That he might show his power and his grace. He brought them into the wilderness where they would need the bread from heaven day by day. And the scripture says in the 107th Psalm, he led them forth by the right way. Now, Israel thought it was the wrong way. Israel thought that the leading of the Lord was the wrong way. But he led them forth by the right way. And he has a purpose in mind. For the end, the last part of that verse says, that he might bring them to a city of habitation. This morning, as we were sitting at the Lord's Supper, and as I was listening, I thought of John 14. What our Lord says in the opening verses of John 14, it's thrilling when you think it through. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Did God ever take his people to a place that wasn't prepared for them? He never took his people anywhere that he didn't have the place prepared before they got there. You think it through. In Eden, God had the garden prepared when he put Adam and Eve there. The garden was prepared. For Israel, when he took Jacob to down to Egypt, when he took Israel to Egypt, he had Egypt prepared. He sent Joseph ahead. When he brought Israel out of Egypt and he brought them into Canaan, the book of Deuteronomy tells us, you got houses you didn't have to build. You got vineyards you didn't have to plant. I prepared it for you. And when we think of the preparation that God has for the church, it's with himself. And as often the scripture tells us, as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show forth his death till he comes. When we're in that prepared place that he's made for us. Oh, that inner man, the outward man is perishing. Well, I know we'd like to hide it. But oh, it's perishing. But the inner man is being renewed day by day. And once we have life in Christ, we need food and we need exercise. But more than that, we need clothing. We need clothing for the inner man. Now most of us, yea, I believe all of us, would never dream of going away without being properly dressed. Oh, we're concerned about how we dress the outer man, aren't we? How about the inner man? Are we as concerned about the inner man as we are the outer man? Paul describes the Christian graces that make up the wardrobe of the inner man. And I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And we want to look at the wardrobe of the inner man. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Where he says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. And here's the wardrobe of the inner man. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Here we have the things to put off. There's a wardrobe to put off. That wardrobe is acquired by a life in sin. It's the wardrobe of the flesh that we're told to put off. But then there's a spiritual wardrobe that you and I, as the elect of God, are to wear. He tells us to put on. He tells us what to put off. But he also tells us what to put on. Now, when God tells us to put something off, he gives us the ability to do it. When God told Peter in Acts chapter 12, when he took the chains and released Peter from prison, he said to him, bind on your sandals and put on your robe. God did for Peter what Peter couldn't do for himself. But God didn't do for Peter what Peter could do. And we can't expect God to do for us and give us these things and give us this new wardrobe if provided. For every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. But he expects us, as a redeemed of the Lord, to take advantage and use what he's provided. Now, you and I need to get rid of the wardrobe of the old life. And we need to receive from him all that we need for the new life. The outward man perishes day by day, but the inner man should be renewed day by day. What is the wardrobe of the inner man? Well, bowels of mercy. In other words, being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Kindness. In the book of Ephesians we read, and be ye kind one to another. Humility of mind. Romans chapter 12 tells us, let not any man think more highly than he ought to think. Humility of mind. And then we read, forbearing one another, and finally, love. Isn't that a wardrobe for the child of God, for the inner man? Now, you see, the attitude of the outer man and the actions of the outer man depend upon the attitude and the actions of the inner man. If we have these garments on the inside, they will manifest themselves on the outside. My, what a blessing it is to see a person saved by the grace of God and to see the wardrobe of the old life put away. There's a woman in my Bible class who said to me one day, he said, it didn't take my husband but 3 weeks to know that I was genuinely a child of God. She said, I had a foul mouth, and I cursed one time after I was saved. And she said, It bothered me so bad, I went to God and asked him to remove that foul mouth of mine and clean me up. And she said, he cleaned me up. My language was no longer the language of Ashdod. My language was the language of the elect of God. Oh, we need food. We need exercise. We need clothing. Thinking of exercise, I'm reminded of when I was in Atlanta a few years ago. And we went to, the people I was staying with took me to a football game between Georgia Tech and Rice. And one of the Georgia Tech players was in the assembly there, and the next morning I began my message by asking them if they know what the definition of a football game is. I said, it's 70,000 people desperately in need of exercise, watching 22 people desperately desiring rest. That's a football game. But anyway, we had a good time. But the body needs something else. The inner man needs something else. The inner man needs cleansing. The inner man needs cleansing. You see, what dirt is to the body, sin is to the soul. And we need cleansing. And as the outer man needs cleansing day by day, the inner man needs cleansing to stay healthy and to stay happy. In Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist cries out, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he answers by saying, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. David realized that he needed cleansing after he committed adultery and murder. And we have this prayer of confession in the 51st Psalm. And in that prayer, in verse 7, he says, wash me thoroughly from my sin, and I shall be clean. Cleanse me thoroughly, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the apostle exhorts the Corinthian saints, and he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves. How do we do that? Thank God for the provision of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I hope you received a copy of John Reisinger's paper, The Sound of Grace, this week. Mine came. And Jerry Bridges wrote a good article, the front page article on the performance treadmill. And when it comes to cleansing, there is a performance treadmill that is sinful on the part of God's children. It is sinful because we really don't believe God. And I'm guilty here. I'm guilty here. And in all probability, as the Bible says, that face answereth the face in water, so the heart of man to the heart of man. When I know I've sinned, instead of going to the Lord immediately for cleansing, I just wait until I'm good and miserable. And somehow in the back of our mind, we feel that, well, maybe God is about as tired of this sin as I am, so it's about time I confess. Instead of going to God and dealing with a sin and having the joy of restoration with the Lord. Oh, we have a way of buttressing the flesh and pampering the flesh that we might have our own way. Instead of going to God and getting forgiveness by the cleansing that he's provided. Oh, thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. The engine under the hood of the car is what makes the car operate. And the inner man, the soul of man, is what makes us as individuals operate. And the inner man controls the character and the conduct of the outer man. When the outer man gets sick, what do? You go to the doctor. The first thing the doctor, this goes back a few years, the first thing the old doctor used to say was, stick out your tongue. That's what he used to say. Stick out your tongue. Have we taken the inner man to the doctor lately? We have to take the inner man to the doctor too. What's the first thing the doctor usually does? He puts a thermometer in your mouth. He takes your temperature. What's your temperature like between you and the Lord? Are you cold? Cold toward God. You see, Matthew 24 verse 12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. And you and I are living in a day when iniquity abounds. It abounds on every hand. And when you look over the temperature of God's people, it is not what it was just a few years ago. Because iniquity shall abound, the Word of God says, the love of many shall grow cold. Have you been to the doctor, the spiritual doctor? Has he taken your temperature? But then, maybe you're lukewarm. That's what the Word said to the church of Laodicea. Well, you're not cold, but you're lukewarm. Straddling the fence. That's what Laodicea did. They were straddling the fence. They weren't hot, and they weren't cold. You see? Lukewarm. And God said to the church at Laodicea, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But then maybe you're hot. Maybe you're hot. Luke 24:32. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus that our Lord met on resurrection night? And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And after the Lord revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread, and had disappeared, and they made their way back to Jerusalem in order that they may be with the others who knew that our Lord had arisen from the dead, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way and as he opened unto us the scriptures? How am I going to get warm before the Lord? With the opening of the Word of God, as he opened us unto us the scriptures. Well, as we take ourselves to the doctor, how are our hands and our hearts? Psalm 24, the question is asked, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And usually the doctor asks, how's your diet? 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, Paul exhorts Timothy to be nourished on God's Word. The needs of the inner man, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. May it please God to speak to each of us that our inner man, and we'll want it, we'll want that inner man renewed day
by Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in thy presence, and we thank you that we have life in Christ. Help us to take advantage of the food, the exercise, the clothing, and the cleansing that you have provided for our inner man. May we not be afraid to take our inner man to the heavenly doctor and have you speak to us, nourish us on your word, build us up in our most holy faith. Bless, we pray thee. We commit ourselves to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, our Father, for thy people who have gathered, we pray that your word will be an abundant blessing to each one, for the Lord Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.